أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Ibn Taymiyyah, it was related that when he was being transported by the ruler's representative to prison in Alexandria, a bystander saw him and said, "My master, this is the time for patience." So Ibn Taymiyyah looked at him and replied, "Rather, this is the time to be thankful. By Allah, such joy and happiness are descending upon my heart at this moment that if it was divided between the people of Sham and Egypt, there would be some left over. And if I had that amount in gold and distributed it, it would not equal even a tenth of the blessing that I am experiencing." Later on Monday the 6th of the month of Sha'ban, year 726, he was again arrested on orders from the ruler and was ordered transferred to the citadel prison in Damascus. When he first learned of this, he said, "I was waiting for this, and this contains great benefit." When he was later in the prison, he said, "If this prison was exchanged for its weight in gold, I would not consider this to be enough to repay this blessing I am in and the good that it has brought me." When he entered the grounds of the citadel prison in Damascus, he stood and looked at its walls and recited the verse, "So a wall will be put up between them with a gate therein. Inside it will be mercy, and from the outside it will be torment." Al-Hadid, verse 13. So, my dear brothers and sisters, and all of the attendees at the cage prisoner event for this year, these are the words of Ibn Taymiyyah, a prisoner. Prison can be a blessing and can be a wrath. It can be a blessing for those who are patient, for those who make the best out of it, for those who ponder and use their time and contemplate and use their time for good. And it could be a wrath for those who are not patient and who are not content and happy and satisfied with the decree that and with the decree and the destiny that Allah has chosen for them. My words to you are going to be from the prisoners to the prisoners, so really they are not my words, but I have compiled together some of the words said or written by prisoners, and I send these words to the prisoners. Prisons can be houses of wisdom, and prisons can be a chance for man to get away from the aspects of this world that could make a person overwhelmed and preoccupied, and could be a chance for contemplation and thinking. I would start with an open letter from the some of the incarcerated brothers in Belmarsh prison. It says, "In the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful, to whom belongs all praise and honor, to all our honorable brethren and sisters worldwide, may Allah's peace and grace be upon you. We, your brothers at Belmarsh prison, and on behalf of brothers captive across the UK, especially those who are deprived of any form of communication with the outside world, collectively and with one voice would like to say thanks to Allah that we have you out there, and thanks to you for being what you are. We praise your undivided attentions, care, and love, which touched our hearts and brought tears of joy to our eyes. We value every word of comfort and advice. Surely Allah makes best of His servants the instruments of His blessings. All your letters, postcards, and artworks are being gathered and preserved for historical records. Our praise and admiration extended first and foremost to all the children who continuously wrote to us, then to all those who tirelessly and zealously campaigned for us, organized websites, arranged meetings, demonstrations, and made speeches in propagation of the truth, to our staunch friends who, unwavering in grace and belief, are unswayed by the political winds and influx of climate fluctuations. We strive to cast the dye of your valor on the golden pages of history, that future generations may honor you and derive lessons from all your courage, self-sacrifice, and care. May Allah reward you manifold. We often ponder what we may have done to our great men of knowledge, the magnanimous learned, those who enjoy a great deal of respect within the Muslim community, that we have not heard of them unless through media interviews, and scholars whom are conversant with the Holy Quran and Book of Traditions and well-versed, the enlightened intellects and intellectuals, and those whom are rightly known as leaders of Muslims in the UK and Europe. Have we misunderstood their duties, or are their duties other than what the Holy Book commands? Have we become invisible in their eyes or insignificant in their attention? Does not rank impose obligation? Surely we have been noticed by children. Would one prefer the shades of the spider's webs to the light of the truth? Then to what benefit is this abandonment, and to whom and to what wisdom this silence, that it has become our duty to bring to their attention their unintentional negligence? Please do accept our apology in advance if we may have been hasty. Yours sincerely, your brothers, Belmarsh, 25th of November, 2005. Dear listeners, one of the things that I regret now that I have left the U.S. is that I have not spent time visiting with my brothers behind bars. I realize my mistake now because I have been through it. It means a lot for a prisoner to know that there are people with him, thinking about him, and traveling such a long distance only to visit them for the sake of Allah alone. Following is a letter by Babur Ahmed along the lines of what I mentioned. We sometimes neglect our duties toward our fellow Muslims until we fall into their trials and realize the importance of standing in support of the oppressed. Babur Ahmed says, in December 2001, a handful of Muslims, alleged foreign terror suspects, were arrested and detained indefinitely. Few amongst the Muslim community in the UK bothered to even say something, including myself, let alone make a stand. In fact, those who are not even Muslim made a stand first and began to speak out. However, when in December 2004, 3 years later, the House of Lords unanimously ruled that detention without trial was illegal and disproportionate, all of a sudden Muslims began to appear from everywhere and openly support the now victorious cause. Whilst it is improper and un-Islamic to question the intentions of these Muslims and why they remained quiet when their efforts were most needed, it is wholly correct to say that this group is not the same in rank as those Muslims who supported this cause when it was unpopular, unfashionable, and frowned upon. The same thing happened with the Guantanamo detainees. In early 2002, the first images appeared of Muslims being transported to Guantanamo Bay, hooded, shackled, deprived of senses, and barefooted. Reports began to emerge of how U.S. soldiers were throwing Qur'ans in toilets, and female U.S. interrogators were smearing menstrual blood onto the faces of Muslim detainees. Yet there was a deafening silence from the majority of Muslims until when it was announced in March 2004 that five Britons would be coming home from Guantanamo Bay. Suddenly, statements of support began to appear from everywhere once victory has been declared and their ordeal was over. Unfortunately, this state of affairs represents reality. We are not prepared to support clear-cut causes for fear of being adversely labeled as extreme, unpopular, or unfashionable. But then what is the point of supporting a cause once it triumphs and becomes famous and popular? Allah the Almighty works in wondrous ways. Sometimes when we are hesitant to support even our own causes, Allah forces us to support them whether we like it or not. A few days ago, an Algerian detainee known as A was released from Woodhill Prison after having spent 3.5 years in prison without charge or trial. Shortly before he was due to be released, I said to him, "Brother, I don't know if I will ever see you again, but in case I don't, I wanted to take this opportunity to ask for your forgiveness." He asked me, "Forgiveness for what?" I replied, "3 years ago, I watched on TV as you and several others were arrested and unjustly detained without trial, but I didn't do anything about it because I didn't really care much about it. Now I am in prison without trial, and you are going home. And tomorrow, those Muslims who do not do anything about me, they will be in prison, and I will go home. And then those who do not do anything about them, they will be in prison, whilst the others go home, and so on." Having said this, I embraced him. A few days later, he went home, but I remain in prison. So, dear listeners, let's take heed by these words of advice and do something. Let's remember the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fukku al-'ani," release the prisoner. Let's remember the sayings of our scholars who said that if a Muslim is incarcerated in the West, it becomes an obligation on the Muslims of the East to free them. And if such happens to a Muslim in the East, then it's the obligation of the Muslims in the West to free them. Let's remember the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this ummah is one, and that they are like a built wall, and they are like one body. Dear listeners, the following is a poem by Sheikh Abu Muhammad al-Maqdisi, one of great scholars of our time, a scholar who has spent a major portion of his life behind bars and still is in Jordan, a scholar whose scholarship is manifest through his works. I say this because we are living in times when scholars could be manufactured. Governments can promote certain scholars, media can promote certain scholars, and they become famous. And when they become famous, their word is taken seriously. While there are many scholars out there who are more scholarly and are steeped in Islamic knowledge, yet nobody knows them because the media and governments of today are against them. Sheikh Abu Muhammad al-Maqdisi has written this poem in Arabic, so obviously some of the eloquence is lost in translation, but still there are some beneficial meanings and words which we could contemplate upon in the translation of his poem. He says, "Dear brother who dwells in these prisons, to you I write with distresses. If to Allah you hold fast, then what harm will a misfortune of time do to you? Beware, dear brother, of making your corrupting your thoughts regarding the promise of the Deity Mighty and Strong. Verily, He has promised the believers with salvation, as He saved Yunus from the dark depths of the belly of the fish. Dear brother, before you pass the ancient ones, these prisons are but like those prisons. Did not Yusuf dwell in them for a phase, and Musa the tyrants threatened him with it, and such was the messenger of the generous deity, to imprison him the pagans plotted, so my Lord saved him through his hijrah. and in the company of that trustworthy friend. And in the footsteps the believers traversed, and in their footsteps the believers traversed, like Ahmad, that firm imam, and likewise Ibn Taymiyyah was blessed with it. In the fortress of Sham, as a prisoner he dwelled. Hundreds of thousands of the true faithful dwelled for a time in these prisons. Be not weak, dear brother, nor lose hope. When your time comes, nor submit. Strengthen yourself by remembering the Deity Most Supreme, and hasten in memorizing the Manifest Book. That is for your heart a secure stronghold. And this is for your spirit, an assisting provision. These are hardships. Soon they will all cease, and remaining from it will be various fruits and benefits. So if they intimidate you and they threaten you, never weaken or soften to them. And even if they insult you and they torture you, and if they beat you, submit not. You are not the first to be tortured for a mighty religion and a manifest legislation, nor are you alone on this path, for there are countless caravans throughout the years. If an Eid passes by and a son is born, and months rotate while you are imprisoned, do not grieve, O brother of the righteous ones, of departing from family and losing children, and if they forbid you from their visits, and likewise their letters never appear. So if this is for a Lord and religion, then where is the patience, where is the certainty? And where are your past speeches regarding the weight of the millah of the trustworthy messenger? That intimate friend went willingly to slaughter his son, a clear trial, on a magnificent, noble day like today. Without any anxiety, he put him down upon his forehead, so my Lord saved him through his goodwill, and ransomed him with a fat sheep. But you, your sons are in a carefree life, and diversion and amusement, and a secured home, yet you have not been asked to slaughter them. Rather, merely for patience of a temporary separation, for verily they are in the care of a merciful Lord, and you are in solitude with him and faith, for the pleasure of a Lord, and assisting a religion, life and all children become insignificant, for the pleasure of a Lord mighty and generous. The prisons come perfumed, and the bitter come sweet. Following is a poem by Professor Sami Al-Aryan, who is incarcerated in the U.S. Innocent. He's been indicted, the general decided, the paper incited, he must be guilty. The agent presumed, prosecutors consumed, the judge assumed, we're sure he's guilty. The bigots are infused, TV is amused, the public is confused, but trust us, he's guilty. Doesn't matter what we saw, we'll simply change the law, call it the final straw, we think he's guilty. We have him on a call, it may be to a congressional hall, our goal is to make him fall, because we believe he's guilty. The trial would be perfect, when guilty is the verdict, even if the evidence is suspect, never mind, we find him guilty. But he only spoke his mind, to people of every kind, justice may be blind, but it's been hard to find, because he's innocent. Strip search. His body was built, his head was bald, his heart was dead, his face was cold, his eyes were fierce, mustache was thick. He lifted up his finger, I was his pick. Take off your jumper and shirt and boxers, but I've only been to the library, have not seen or met anybody. Strip, you're going to strip, and don't you dare move your lip. Take off your jumper and shirt and boxers. Open your mouth, show me your tongue. Give me a cough deep from your lung. Hold your buttocks and bend over. Turn around, lift it up, and stay sober. The routine is to humiliate, to scar and intimidate. His search took an eternity. In the name of security, they strip you of your dignity. Shakedown. They came Monday morning in front of my door, five COs and one LT at 6 foot and four. Come up, shut up, cough up, they said. Turn around, back up, hold down your head. They joked and laughed. It's time for a shakedown. Control, destroy, and don't you dare frown. Contraband, contraband, he yelled from the side. My heart just sank, he's found my hide. Extra blanket, extra sheet, boxers he's thrown, plastic spoon, peanut butter, and a picture I'd drawn. My heart was beating faster than before. If he finds it, my life ain't the same anymore. Seconds and minutes were passing like years, frustrated, worried, and crying without tears. Undaunted, they left the cell upside down. Startled, it looked like a tornado hit town. But I calmed and laughed and thanked the Lord. My pencil is safe and mightier than the sword. This is a letter by a prisoner named Mas'ud Khan. Actually, this is a speech that he delivered in court. It's concise and brief. He says, Bismillah. He says, Bismillah, all praises are due to Allah, the Most Merciful. I wasn't going to give this short statement here today, but decided that as I should never despair from my Lord's mercy, I should likewise never despair from enjoining what is justly right and forbidding what is justly wrong. Truly our Lord is oft forgiving and merciful, and in this short life provides ample opportunities to turn to Him and correct our affairs before it is too late. I therefore enjoin upon myself and everyone to fear Allah as He should rightly be feared. I therefore enjoin upon myself and everyone to fear God as He should rightly be feared, and to know that God is swift in responding to the supplications of the oppressed. I have come to realize that it is truly through trial and hardship that one comes to know and love his Creator. I can therefore honestly say that in this blessing of hardship, I am not the one who has been hurt, but sadly those who have brought on this injustice have only hurt themselves. In closing, I would like to say thank you again to the community and our supporters for everyone's ongoing support for us and others. May God protect and reward them abundantly. Following is a piece titled A Moment of Aspiration by Rashid Ramda. And I have been commanded to do justice among you. Allah is our Lord and your Lord. For us are our deeds, and for you, your deeds. There is not need for argument between us and you. Allah will bring us together, and to Him is the final destination. Quran chapter 42, verse 15. From every transient moment that decay arose, buds of hope flourished to blossoms on the bough of faith in thousands, whispering in silence, I am in the hands of God safe. Doors slam shut, screeching steel on their pivotal pins, resonance of wet stones against my soul. One by one, the last mortise clangs. The silence commands, I walk in, two steps. Walls of jaded cell enclose, depressing my heart. I freeze inside the belly of this cold monster. A gate opens in my mind. The fragrance of rose and jasmine fill the air. My father arches his back. The weight of distance and the dust of time on his brow, he smiles, and his smile reminiscent of happy moments sparks a light steady pace. Silken beard, like clouds, a question why, lacrimose pearls in his eyes. Oh, my soul, my mother runs behind, breaths of air fresh brush my hair, arms stretched to heaven to embrace. Those soft hands that once combed my hair and dressed me up for school. She never missed a kiss on my face. Allah go with you, my son. Such a grace till the day was done. And my little sister races to reach me at once with bright shining eyes, blush of rose on her cheeks, calls my name aloud, reach my hand out to grasp a single touch, life is such. My dream shatters in the voice of the jailer who shouts, clear all, checking through the flapping hole. My eyes travel through windows, profile of arrayed steel bars, the view of the exercise yard incised into squares of equal size by the mesh cases of rusted hope painted in red dupe, like a jigsaw just about to fall apart. I pick up the holy book, begin to recite, O Allah, I'm in your hands, firm my feet on rock, I'm on sand, a moment in a decade of time. Another prisoner, Abdullah Thani Faris al-Sulami al-Unaizi, from Guantanamo Bay, writes this letter to his brother, dated 17th of January 2003. The heart longs and the tears glisten as Allah has destined us to be apart, but all praises are due to Allah. Sins have enclosed this slave in layers. So I ask the Lord to forgive my sins and accept my repentance, and to wipe away my wrongdoing, for He is the one who always forgives. The prisoner returns to his Lord as fast as a stream. Our all-powerful Lord certainly guides the conscience and restores the defeated. Then the anxiety goes as the Almighty replaces one set of circumstances with another. My brother, I reassure you that I am under the care of Allah and in good health and well-being. My brother, let me tell you that the best of tradesmen is the one who transforms his loss into profit, his bad times into good, and his tragedies into gains, by remembering Allah's reward and taking advantage of time. Our role model in this, after our Prophet, peace be upon him, is in the righteous believers before us, from them Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him, who used to say, whilst imprisoned in the fortress of Damascus, if I were to give in charity the worth of this fortress filled with gold, it would not be enough to thank Allah for the blessings this imprisonment has brought. He also once said, a prisoner is the one whose heart is imprisoned from his Lord, and a captive is the one captive to his desires. Some of the Gnostics used to say, if the kings and their sons knew about the degree of happiness we carry in our hearts, they would fight us for it with their swords. Another said, how pitiful the people of this worldly abode are. They leave it without tasting the best of it. And when asked what is the best of it, he said, knowing Allah, loving Him, and remembering Him. Another said, there are times that I say, if those in heaven are living like this, then they are in a very pleasant life. So rest assured, my brother, I say to you as the poet has said before, put chains around my hands and burn my chest, yet you can never siege my mind for a moment. The light is in my heart, and my heart is in the hands of my Lord, and my Lord is my helper and keeper. All praise due to Allah under all circumstances, and Allah willing, these are only a few days, and we will meet soon. I see some signs of good news, inshallah. My brother, by Allah I urge you to be kind to our parents, and you must be conscious of Allah and seek His approval at all times, and be patient about this trial we are going through. Abdullah Thani Faris al-Sulami al-Unazi, Guantanamo. I would close with a poem by Babur Ahmed. Beyond the mask and beyond the front, beyond the name and beyond the image, beyond the rhyme and beyond the prose, beyond the metaphors and beyond the rhetoric, beyond the campaign and beyond the publicity, beyond the words and beyond the speeches, there is a caged bird. There is a caged bird whose only wish is to be a bird again. There is a caged bird that yearns to fly free again and soar over the mountaintops and glide through the valleys. There is a caged bird that is no better than any other bird and no different to any other bird. There is a caged bird whose wings have been cut and voice has been muted, whose only desire is to be a bird again. That's why the caged bird sings. Dear listeners, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us our fasting during this blessed holy month of Ramadan. And I would like to close this talk of mine by encouraging you to give that which belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, but He decided to put it in your hands, to give some of it, to give some of it for the sake of assisting and freeing and helping your brothers behind bars.
يدوس كرامتي حينا وحينا يقهقر وهو خمار سكير يدوس كرامتي حينا وحينا يقهقر وهو خمار سكير وأنات الأسارى شاهدات على ملياركم أين الطرير وأنات الأسارى شاهدات على ملياركم أين الطرير وأين الفارس المغوار ياتي يفك القيد أعيان الزفير وأين الفارس المغوار ياتي يفك القيد أعيان الزفير يفك القيد أعيان الزفير ولو أن القطيع لنا جوار لما طابت لسكنانا الحمير ولو أن القطيع لنا جوار لما طابت لسكنانا الحمير.